This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up, Kathleen Stevenson is going to be speaking with Radio Zine. Kathleen Stevenson of the Radio Zine will be speaking with Sarah Anderson of the Institute for Policy Studies. And that organization's new report, Fix the Debt, CEOs Enjoy Taxpayer Subsidized Pay. Stay tuned.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO Radio and the Radio Zine, and I am speaking with Sarah Anderson, director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. Yesterday, the Institute released a report called Fix the Debt, CEOs Enjoy Taxpayer-Subsidized Pay. The report details how 90 publicly held corporations in the Fix the Debt lobby group used a government loophole to take in millions of dollars. Sarah Anderson has been studying the wage gap and CEO pay for almost 20 years. She was the first to begin releasing reports on the ratio between CEOs and the average pay of workers. She is a well-known expert on executive compensation as the lead author of the annual executive excess reports that have received extensive media coverage. Sarah Anderson, thanks for being with us to talk about this report.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into the report, tell us what is meant by Fix the Debt CEOs. What is the Fix the Debt lobby group?
Yeah, thanks for asking. And this isn't the first report that we've done on these guys either, because we think it's important for people to know more about this organization. They were formed last fall in the lead up to the whole so-called fiscal cliff debate, and they have recruited about 100 CEOs of big name companies to be their spokespeople, and they try very hard to project an image of patriotism and shared sacrifice, and they just want to get a responsible deal to reduce the deficit. But if you look at the details of what they're actually pushing, they are pushing very hard for cuts to Social Security and Medicare, and they're pushing all kinds of corporate tax breaks, claiming that somehow if corporations pay even less taxes than they do now, somehow our economy will automatically start growing more, and that will reduce the deficit. And so it's a very self-interested agenda that is mostly going to put the burden of their budget deal on the backs of ordinary Americans.
And what is the CEO performance pay loophole that is the focus of this report?
Yeah, well, we thought it was a good opportunity to highlight this loophole, which is very little understood, but basically it has to do with the fact that companies can deduct from their corporate income taxes unlimited amounts of executive compensation as long as that pay is supposedly performance-based. And so companies can dole out massive amounts of stock options and bonuses and other performance pay to their CEOs and other top executives and deduct all of that from their income taxes. And so it's a very perverse incentive because it means that the more companies pay their CEOs, the less they pay in federal income taxes. And so it's actually encouraged this explosion of CEO pay that we've seen in the past 20 years.
And talk about the numbers. What's the total amount that the report gives for subsidization of companies?
Yeah, so we just looked at these 90 companies, publicly held companies that are members of this Fix the Debt group. You know, we thought it was important to look at them because they're out there lecturing the rest of America about how we need to tighten our belts. And so we looked at how much their CEOs were getting paid and how much of that was being deducted as a result of this performance pay loophole. And we looked over a three-year period from 2009 to 2011 and found that these companies, thanks to this loophole, were getting a tax break of between about $950 million to $1.6 billion. We don't know the exact figure because of there just isn't enough information available, but what we did look at was what companies had reported in their own financial statements to their shareholders. And, you know, it's almost more dramatic to look at some individual examples, I think. And so the guy who we highlight as the one who got the most performance pay is Stephen Hemsley, who is the CEO of United Health Group. That's the biggest HMO in the country. And during that three-year period, he got almost $200 million in total compensation, and almost all of that was this so-called performance pay. And so just for this one guy, Stephen Hemsley at United Health Group, his the subsidy for his pay turned out to be about $68 million. And, you know, that's money that the rest of us get stuck with the bill for that, right? Because if these companies aren't paying taxes on this executive compensation, that revenue's got to come from somewhere else, or the government has to cut spending. So we think it's something that should really be on the table in the budget debate and hasn't been. The fact that ordinary taxpayers are subsidizing executive compensation, and at a time of such scarce resources, we just need to be getting rid of these kinds of loopholes.
And what do we know about Stephen Hemsley's public statements about politics? Has he also done public speaking about concerns related to the deficit, et cetera?
Yes, well, he is a member of this United Health, the Fix the Debt group, and he's also a member of the Business Roundtable. Now, that's sort of this club for CEOs that's been around a long time, and they've gotten even more detailed and kind of draconian in what they're pushing. They want the retirement age to be raised to 70. That would be, if people couldn't start collecting Social Security until they're 70 years old, that means about a 20% retirement benefit cut for ordinary Americans. And so he has really been out there. And we, you know, just to show a little bit of the disparity in the debate, we also looked into, you know, what kind of retirement future is Stephen Hemsley, the CEO of United Health Group, looking at. And he has an employer-provided retirement fund that's worth almost $20 million right now. So these are guys who, you know, have no real personal stake in the Social Security debate. If there are cuts to Social Security, that's going to be just an absolute minute fraction of what they're looking to be gaining in their golden years. And yet they're out there lecturing the rest of us that this is necessary to avoid national economic ruin. And I just think it's crazy when this is such a rich country. We have so many ways that we could be raising more resources that could be going to make sure that we protect people who need that the most.
I'm speaking with Sarah Anderson here on the Radio Zine. She is director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. They released a report yesterday called Fix the Debt CEOs Enjoy Taxpayer-Subsidized Pay. And I want to get into some more examples, Sarah, but before that, I wanted to ask you a question to try to help me understand, I hope, something. There was a a comment reading down on your website through the comments today. Somebody said, is critical and says, when did a deduction become a subsidy? And says, a subsidy is when you buy an electric car and the state gives you $10,000 back, not when you deduct an expense away from your profit. So they're disputing that. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So under the U.S. tax code, it says that you can deduct executive compensation as long as it's reasonable. And they set actually a $1 million cap on how much you could deduct. But then they left this huge loophole for performance pay, which has led to the explosion of all of these stock options and other, you know, so-called performance pay. And we think the spirit of the law really is that a reasonable business expense for executive compensation shouldn't be any more than $1 million. But people have, you know, exploited this loophole to be deducting massive amounts of money, and that really wasn't the intent. And so we see this as, you know, a perverse loophole that is functioning as a subsidy for excessive executive pay, because, you know, when you're talking about tens, sometimes even around $100 million a year for an executive, I don't think you can find many Americans who would agree that that is a reasonable business expense under the U.S. tax code. We're not telling companies, to be clear, we're not telling companies that they have to lower their executive pay. We're saying let's get rid of this tax loophole so that at least ordinary Americans are not having to foot the bill for these massive pay packages.
Okay. So let's get back to some other examples. Also highlighted in your summary is Discovery Communications CEO David Zaslav. Tell us about what the story is there.
Yeah, well, he was just the second, biggest beneficiary of this loophole. He's made a lot of money over the past several years, and so about $105 million of his compensation was in stock options, which are fully deductible performance pay, and that translates into a taxpayer subsidy of about $37 million just for this one guy. And, you know, another argument just to kind of address some of the common responses we get is, well, you know, stock options are a great way to pay executives because it aligns the interests of shareholders with the executives. I mean, that was really the justification for expanding the use of stock options, and that, you know, it really would be a way to reward executive performance. But it's become increasingly clear that this is not the case in practice a lot of the time. Many times companies will give their executives huge amounts of these stock options at a time when the price of their stock is really low, like after the crash in 2008. We mentioned that at Goldman Sachs, they got just, you know, boatloads of new stock options, and it didn't take much for the value of the stock to increase and for the executives to really make a killing. And I should probably take a second and explain what a stock option is, because I always just assume everybody knows what it is.
Because
I've been
working
on this a long time. A stock option is the right to buy stock at a fixed price. And so if you're given 100,000 options at a time when your company's stock is kind of in the tank, the value comes when the stock starts to rise, and you can buy the stock for the original price on the grant date. And that's why they're so incredibly valuable. And that's why we've been seeing, you know, these pay packages sometimes of around $100 million in the past 10 or 20 years. So, you know, I think that that's another thing we're trying to raise here, is that don't be fooled into thinking that just because a lot of this pay is in the form of stock options that it means these guys are really genius in their performance.
Mm. And is there another example that you think is particularly illustrates things well this whole?
Yeah, I mean, I could give a couple more. I mean, I've been kind of picking on the CEO of BlackRock a little bit, Lawrence Fink. This is the world's biggest money manager, Wall Street firm. So they're a you know, an asset manager. And he's been going on TV saying things like, we really need to raise the Social Security age to 70 because people don't really work that hard anymore. You know, most of us have jobs where, most of us have jobs where we just sit around. And so, you know, why shouldn't we be able to work a few more years before we can collect Social Security? And, you know, it's just, it's hard to take coming from someone who's making the kind of money that this guy is, Lawrence Fink, the CEO of BlackRock. And he, I updated his figures for 2012. He comes in near the top. And so between 2009 and 2012, he took home about $120 million in performance pay, and that would translate into a tax break of about $42 million for the company. And so just the, you know, I think with this whole raging debate over the national budget and our national economic priorities is really bringing out is, you know, the extreme disparity in this country, and you can't find it much more extreme than this. I mean, here's a guy who's making hundreds of millions of dollars who will never have to worry in his retirement about making ends meet, and yet he is becoming a spokesperson for this corporate lobby group and going on TV and telling us that we need to accept raising the retirement age.
Mm. And if these CEOs in this group, this Fix the Debt group, if they were serious about addressing fiscal challenges in the country, what do you think they should be doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they should be taking a hard look at the ways that their own corporations and big corporations in the U.S. in general have been contributing to our deficit. We have a huge problem of tax dodging among the big corporations. And what I've been talking about today is just this one particular loophole that not that many people know about, but is the one that allows the unlimited deductibility of executive performance pay. But you get into much bigger numbers when you're talking about all the money that they, you know, avoid paying by using tax havens, you know, shifting their profits to countries like the Cayman Islands where there's no income on corporate profits. And so if we could, you know, and many people, you know, just anticipating again, the response we get is, oh, what do you mean we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world in the United States? That's true, but what companies actually pay is nothing like the rate of 35%. In fact, corporate taxes are near a 60-year low at a time when corporate profits are at a 60-year high. So by avoiding taxes all these years and really fighting hard to get these loopholes in the tax code, they have been contributing to the deficit. And I think that, you know, rather than putting the burden on, you know, ordinary Americans who really rely on the kind of government benefits that they're calling to be cut, they should be looking at how corporations could be making more of a contribution to our federal revenue, and step one is to eliminate these kinds of loopholes.
What is the mechanism for eliminating these kinds of loopholes?
Well, the one that I've been talking about on performance pay would be striking out like one line in the tax code that says that you can't deduct any more than $1 million per executive for executive compensation unless it's performance-based. If you just took out the part that says unless it's performance-based, you would fix that one. And in fact, there are two recent precedents for this. In the TARP legislation, they put a cap on how much the TARP, you know, financial bailout company recipients could get, could deduct for their executive compensation, and they said no more than $500,000 and no exceptions for performance pay. So that, you know, that language is already out there. It's the same thing in the healthcare legislation. The bill that created Obamacare put a $500,000 cap on how much health insurance companies could deduct for the expense of executive compensation, and again, with no exceptions for performance pay. So, you know, we're not talking about some sort of, you know, fantasy idea that's never been tried. It has been applied to these specific companies, and we just think it should be applied across the board to all U.S. corporations.
And what about the Income Equity Act? Talk about what mm-hmm. that is.
Yeah, well, that's Representative Barbara Lee from California has a bill that would do that, would close the performance pay loophole. And her proposal has also an interesting twist. It would cap deductibility at $500,000 or no more than 25 times what the lowest paid worker at the company makes. And we really like that bill because of that whole ratio approach. For one thing, it gets at, you know, a big issue right now, which is the extreme disparity in what CEOs and workers are making. The average is about 354-1 is the ratio between CEO pay and worker pay in this country. And by, attaching this ratio part to her bill by saying you can't deduct any more than 25 times what the lowest paid worker makes, you're encouraging companies to lift up pay levels at the bottom. You know, they could deduct more for their executive pay if they were paying their lower level workers more. And we, of course, want to encourage companies to do that as well.
And what's the status of that act?
Well, it was just recently reintroduced for this session, and so I work as with a task force on executive compensation. It's like a subgroup of a broader coalition called Americans for Financial Reform, and it's made up of various consumer and union and socially responsible investment organizations and such. And we are hoping to really help promote this bill and this whole problem with the performance pay loophole. So we think the time is really right to build more momentum for that.
I am speaking with Sarah Anderson, Assistant Director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. Sarah, you've been working on this issue of inequality and executive compensation for a long time. What are your final thoughts on this and the future and what people can do, et cetera?
Yeah, well, a lot of people ask me, like, oh, my gosh, how can you stand working on this issue for so many years? Nothing ever gets better. But I think that lots of people care about runaway CEO pay and extreme inequality, but they don't feel like they know what they can do about it. And I think that when you point out really concrete things that can be done, like eliminating this loophole that right now is encouraging excessive CEO pay, I think it should be empowering for people and that they really should be making demands, especially at this time of such, you know, extreme need for more fairness and more resources going into supporting the poor and the middle class in this country.
And who should they communicate about that with?
Well, with their member of Congress. I mean, right now there is total deadlock in Washington, as everyone knows. Obama has presented his budget proposal in the last couple weeks, and there's going to have to be a big fight over trying to reconcile his proposal with those in the House and the Senate. But members of Congress have vowed to not take a paycheck at the end of the year if they don't have a budget agreement. And so the pressure is on, and it's the fight of our times, I think. There are very powerful forces trying to erode basic earned benefit programs like Social Security and Medicare and saying that, you know, that's our only choice. You know, our country's broke and we have to go for those kinds of cuts. And that's just absolutely absurd. We are the richest country in the world. The problem is too much of our resources has been going into the pockets of too few people and large corporations and into military spending. And it's a real opportunity right now to try to get our priorities straight.
And if people wanted to read this report or see the report in its entirety or even a summary, how would they do that?
Yeah, well, you should go to our website, and it is on our homepage right now. And so I work for the Institute for Policy Studies, and our website is ips-dc.org. That's ips-dc.org. And the name of the report is Fix the Debt CEOs Enjoy Taxpayer-Subsidized Pay.
Great. Well, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us about that and wish you the best. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, that was Sarah Anderson, Director of Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. And that report, again, is called Fix the Debt CEOs Enjoy Taxpayer-Subsidized Pay. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine here on KBOO, Portland. And if you wanted to hear this interview again, you can go to the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Thanks to Sam for engineering today, and stay tuned for Moving On.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Don Jacobson, and Moving On will be here in just a few minutes, right after the noon news. I have an interesting program for you. It's been a while since I've been hosting Moving On, and in the meantime, I've acquired lots of interesting new music, and I'll be sharing that with you. Also, commemorating a very sad event, Richie Havens died last week. And I'll be playing a couple of things by him. Right now, it's time for the noon news.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon. I'm Kristen Yount.
And I'm Michael Louie.
9 people have been arrested in connection with the collapse of a massive garment factory in Bangladesh. The collapse happened last week. 501 bodies have been recovered from the wreckage, and 800 still remain missing. Those arrested include the owner and a consulting engineer. The mayor of the town has also been suspended for allowing 3 stories to be added to the building last year. Cracks were noticed in the foundation the day before the collapse, but people were still allowed to enter the building the next day. The Israeli military fired 3 missiles at the northern Gaza Strip today. The missiles hit the fishing village of Al-Waha, west of Beit Lea. Israeli officials said that the area was targeted because fishermen went too far off the Gaza coast to fish. According to the 2012 ceasefire agreement, the agreed-upon boundary is 6 nautical miles, but Israeli forces have only allowed fishermen to go 3 nautical miles off the coast.
The city of Seattle announced today that they will launch a bike-sharing program next year. 500 bikes will be ready at 50 stops throughout downtown Seattle. Commuters wishing to bike can pick up a bike at one stop and return the bike to another station. The program uses both public and private funding and should cost around $3.7 million total. Seattle contracted the Portland-based company Ulta Bikes, who set up similar programs in Washington, D.C., Boston, and Chattanooga, Tennessee.
A landmark decision made by the Iowa Supreme Court allows women in same-sex marriages to share custodial rights. Now, female same-sex spouses don't have to go through lengthy adoption procedures to share custody. The ruling is intended to ensure that the child is well cared for because fundamental legal rights are immediately established the moment of birth. That's it for the KBOO News at Noon. For more local, national, and international news, tune in every evening at 5 p.m. for the KBOO Evening News, produced by volunteers right here in our Portland studios. For KBOO News, I'm Kristen Yount.
And I'm Michael Louie.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, where shopping is an art. Celebrating 40 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March 3rd through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com. And this program is also being underwritten by the Aladdin Theater, presenting the Milk Carton Kids with the Barefoot Movement Wednesday, May 15th at 8 p.m. tickets and information for the Milk Carton Kids at the Aladdin box office and aladdin-theater.com. I'm going to play a selection from an anthology album, Washington Square Memoirs, The Great Urban Folk Boom. And they have a selection performed by Richie Havens, Just Like a Woman.
That be